Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen, and in studio, as usual, our trustworthy producer.
That's where we're late. We're sharing Midwestern stories here. Your guest went to a college I'm very familiar with back in the Midwestern.
So without then further ado, great job, Paul. I'm very excited to welcome
I fell on the sword. That's why we're late. Okay, it's me talking.
I'm very excited to welcome our guest today, Allison Mitchell, who is the editor-in-chief of Modern Luxury Magazine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I can't wait to find out more about you and your history and what got you to where you are today. You have a great little bio, I'm just going to read it because I don't want to leave anything out. I think it's really
good. Don't leave out the college now that we've teased it here. We got to talk about it.
Come on, Paul. You're messing up my little
okay, I'm
stick
sorry.
Now.
I'm sorry.
All right. So Allison is editor-in-chief of Modern Luxury Orange County and Modern Luxury Weddings California magazines. Prior to overseeing Orange County's leading luxury lifestyle publication, Mitchell served as the West Coast deputy editor across Modern Luxury Orange County, Modern Luxury San Diego, and Angelino magazines, while contributing to Modern Luxury Weddings California and Modern Luxury Interiors California. Allison began her 7-year career with Modern Luxury at Atlanta's leading luxury lifestyle publication, Jezebel, where she rose through the ranks from assistant editor to associate editor to deputy editor and finally to editor-in-chief in just under 5 years, where she worked closely with Modern Luxury CEO Michael Dickey. She also has served as executive editor of American Media Inc.'s Nash magazine and conceptualized the magazine's original prototype in collaboration with Modern Luxury. Prior to joining Modern Luxury, Allison began her editorial digital career with Ryan Seacrest Productions, NBC Universal, and Red Carpet Fashion Limited, writing for the websites ryanseacrest.com, mystyle.com, and eoonline.com, and redcarpetfashionawards.com. Allison graduated cum laude from, all right, here it comes, Miami University of Ohio.
Yay!
With honorary degrees in journalism and English literature. So before we dive into all this amazing stuff, since I'm not from the Midwest, I had to actually ask Allison and Paul, who apparently knew. I said, hey, is this a typo? Is it really Miami
of Ohio? Because it's Miami River.
Thing.
Yeah, Miami Indians, Miami of Ohio.
It is
way before there was a Miami in Florida.
Very true. The joke is that Miami was a school when Florida still belonged to Spain. So we are the real Miami, is okay. What they say. And it's about 16,000 people in Oxford, Ohio. And it's one of the oldest schools in the country, top 10. So
yeah, okay.
It is a real thing.
All right. So for those of you like me who are not from the Midwest and may not have known that, now we know. Allison, so you're so young. You've accomplished so much in the publication world. How did you get started? Was this like a lifelong dream of yours?
It kind of has been. So it started with just a love of pop culture and celebrities. I think growing up here in Orange County, we're so exposed to that with our proximity to Los Angeles and how many concerts and events come through here. So I grew up in San Clemente, and my mom kind of indulged me and would take me to tons of concerts and award shows in Los Angeles growing up. And I thought, well, how can I get access to these celebrities? And the thought was, I can interview them. So I loved to read magazines, wanted to be in journalism. And once I went off to Miami of Ohio, I decided that I needed to get an internship. And so during the summers, I would come back here to Orange County and got my first internship with the Style Network, which is now defunct, but also owned by E!, and started writing about fashion, celebrity fashion, for mystyle.com. And that was the summer going into my senior year of college. Then I graduated and got an internship with Ryan Seacrest Productions. I shortly went to the University of Southern California for graduate school, but ultimately left USC for Modern Luxury. So the internship with Ryan Seacrest and with the Style Network were what ultimately exposed me to journalism. And then Modern Luxury kind of worked its way in there. And that's also sort of an interesting story.
Well, I want to hear about that.
Yes.
So we share something in common. And this is a private share that I'm sharing right now with everyone.
Not a school you went to or something?
No.
Miami of Ohio or something.
No.
Connection.
So it's my secret love of pop culture. And it's, matter of fact, it's so much that I have E! Online phone that will give me news flashes and it annoys no one more than my wife every time it pops up. And she has no idea as to why that is so interesting to me.
I still love it.
It does.
I really do. And, you know, my boyfriend makes fun of me for that as well. But this morning, actually, we were talking about Britney Spears and I'm rattling off the last things that have happened are in the last 5 years. And he's going, how do you know all these things?
So what's really bad is when I can do that same thing to my wife.
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't really. Okay. So, Ryan Seacrest, what did you spend much time with him personally? Because he sounds like a very accomplished personality.
So I think what was so interesting is I got the internship with Ryan Seacrest Productions off Twitter. I applied blind. I didn't know anyone. And I got the interview, went up to Los Angeles, interviewed with them, and ended up getting it. So I didn't know anyone. It wasn't like I had some special in. And I think what I learned most from spending time with Ryan, we got to sit in on meetings with him and conference calls with the Kardashians and all sorts of interesting things, is that he's really a businessman first and foremost. And I think that's why he's so successful.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much about the celebrity for him as it is the real business of production and radio. And now his hosting career is bigger than ever. But it was really interesting to get sort of an insider perspective on the business of Ryan Seacrest and not so much the celebrity.
Does he work? And here comes my pop culture interest. Mm-hmm. Does he? It seems like he works almost 24 hours a day. I mean, is he working all the time?
Absolutely. I used to. So Ryan Seacrest Productions at the time was housed in the same place where E is filmed, E News. And he did the Kiss FM radio show out of the same building as well. So on my lunch breaks, I used to sit outside and just wait for celebrities to walk in and out because they're interviewing people. And I remember watching Ryan get out of the car one day and he had two assistants. He's literally typing on a laptop while walking into the building. He's a workaholic for sure.
Yeah.
But he's got a very good team around him that's been with him really from the beginning.
Yeah. Nice guy. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, very nice guy. And not as short as people think.
Yeah.
I think people always give him a bad rap that he's really short, but he's probably about 5'8". He's not terribly short. But yes, was a very nice guy.
Wow. It took me, I didn't know this right away. When you explain to the audience, what's the difference between an editor and a publisher?
So the difference is the editor handles all the editorial content. So all of the images you see, the written part of it, that's everything the editor's doing. The editor's planning start to finish what you're going to see editorially. The publisher oversees marketing and sales. So they're in charge of all of the advertising. So any special promotions you see that are marked at the top with special promotion, and then, of course, all the ads in between, the publisher is overseeing all of that and our sales team to make sure ads are being placed. So we say she handles the business side of it, and I handle the creative side of it.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So and we've talked about this. We see each other at events. We attend a lot of events. But other than that, or let's say including that, what's a day in the life? What do you... Especially from a work standpoint.
From a work standpoint, I would say it begins and ends with emails, of course. My inbox is flooded a lot with event invites, press releases, staying on top of all the assignments. I manage all of our freelancers and our photographers, so I have to make sure all of those pieces are moving. I write a lot of the magazine myself as well, so I have to make sure my stories are moving. So a lot of time spent at the computer. And then I would say I go to Orange Theory in Corona Del Mar almost every day. I love that. And then probably go to an event at night. So that could be a media dinner for a new restaurant or on the weekends, a gala for a charity. Newport Beach Film Festival coming up. We'll be at that this week.
Yeah.
So I would say a day in the life is work, working out, going to bed and repeat.
Yeah. But what time do you get up?
I typically get up around 7. I'm not a terribly early
person.
It's
not too early.
No, I'm more of a night person, honestly. Yeah. You'll see me, I'm sure all the PR people in Orange County could attest to this. I send a lot of emails late at night.
Yeah.
I'm sort of most awake and alert in the evening hours. So.
All right.
Maybe that's why I like going to events, too.
So it's not going to be that difficult, the film festival party, is it, for you?
No, I'm kind of a night owl at heart.
So you said you don't handle as much of the business side, but what is the, tell us about the business of running a magazine.
So it's a lot of work. I think probably the bigger misconception of my job is that I do spend the bulk of my time going to events, and that's really not the case. I would say the glamorous side of the magazine, which would include photo shoots and events, is probably 20% of what I do. I would say the bulk of the day is spent trafficking freelancers, photographers, writers, and then also connecting our advertising team with leads. I'm normally the front line of any news that comes in, so new restaurants, new hotels, new businesses that are popping up. So I'm really filtering that to our team constantly to let them know what's new, and so they can go after that for advertising leads. Mm-hmm. So I work very closely with our sales team to make sure that they're getting the right support they need in terms of knowing what's going on in our community, because I'm getting different information than they're getting. So we meet once a week and make sure that those two sides are working together. And then also we work together to say, okay, we have a photo shoot coming up. Where can we shoot that maybe a client? How can we support them on the editorial side? And by no means are we pay for play. I'll make that very clear, but we do try to support the people that support us, and work them in different and interesting ways. So I would say, even though I am the creative side, I do have to keep the business in mind all the time, because what I put in editorially is a representation of our advertising side as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about a couple of publications that weren't even, or networks that weren't in existence anymore. What, what's the key to success of a publication? I know at the end of the day, it's dollars in, right? Dollars in versus dollars out. Is there more to that?
I think the niche that modern luxury has carved for itself, which is really interesting. I think one of the biggest questions I get asked is, well, you guys are in print. Isn't print dying? And, you know, the answer to that in terms of what we do is we really target luxury solely. We call it almost, we call it a VVR, the very, very rich. We're not even targeting the 1%. We're targeting the 0.1%. So we have 25 publications in 85 markets. And what sets us apart is that a large brand can come to us, like Gucci, for example, and they can say, we want to throw a party at South Coast Plaza. Who should we invite? They're coming to us for that information because we know the socialites and the philanthropists in the market personally. A brand like Vogue or Glamour doesn't have that information. That's why I think modern luxury strives, because we really have on the ground relationships with the people in our markets, because each of our editors are living and working in these markets. And that spans all 25 of our cities we're in. We're growing. We're expanding overseas next year. So I think that's really what sets us apart and keeps us thriving is our on the ground relationships.
Yeah. And so you don't think that, that print copies are a dinosaur?
I don't think so. I think for who we're targeting, I think people want that glossy, beautiful publication in their restaurant, in their home. There's something inherently luxury about print. People can go online all day long and log in and read a story. It's not hard to get coverage, I think, on the internet now, because you can produce it yourself. You can sign up for an Instagram and and plug yourself in a heartbeat. But to get the spaces of a magazine, I only have 80 pages in each issue to do editorially, sometimes 88, depending on the issue.
Yeah.
So it's a very select amount of pages. I can't go up or down from that. It's set from the beginning. So to get the 2-page spread or the 4-page spread, I think is still a very coveted spot that people want. And I'll say the biggest thing that happens is even when our digital edition goes up, people want the hard copy immediately.
Yeah, I find that myself, I always prefer to get the hard copy. And it, like you said, there's something about touching it and you know, the feel of it. You can tell the quality of a publication by the, you know, the weight and the feel. So I think there's something to that. So you talked earlier about, you made a little bit of mention about the kind of the story to, that got you to modern luxury. You want to chat about that?
Sure. So I think it's sort of a twist of fate. When I was graduating Miami of Ohio, yay, Redhawks. I was applying. I was deciding whether I wanted to go to graduate school or I wanted to go into the workforce right away. I already had 2 degrees in journalism and English, so I knew I wanted to use those. And the one job I applied for was Modern Luxury Orange County. Never heard anything. Went off to grad school. Didn't think much of it. About a year later, I got an email from my former boss and the former vice president of our company, Beth Weitzman, saying she found my resume on file and wanted to know if I would interview for a job in Hawaii with Ala Moana, which is one of our publications there. And I was at this crossroads where I really wanted to work. I was dying to get a job at Ryan Seacrest. They weren't hiring at the time. And I thought, well, if this is my in into the world of publications, I'm going to interview for it. So I interviewed for it. It went to someone else, as it should have, as I was 23 years old and had never worked for a magazine. She came back about a month later and said, I have an assistant editor job in Atlanta that I think you're great for. What do you think? So we interviewed and I moved to Atlanta 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Having not known anyone there, never even stepped foot in the state of Georgia. I leased my apartment sight unseen.
Yeah.
It was a big leap of faith, but one that thankfully paid off.
Yeah. Well, you're quite the adventurer.
I think so. I think had I not gone to school out of state for 4 years, I don't think I would have moved across the country, but I just had this real gut instinct that it was the right move, and thankfully it was.
Yeah.
My parents weren't too mad that I left grad school now. So,
how many years were you out of the state?
I was out of the state almost 5 years. I came back. I left in April 2012, came back November 2016.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So in the South for quite a while, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier, too, and I think this is kind of interesting. And I imagine it's not just for your magazine, but you have a new job every month. It's like a new deadline every single month. You don't get a time off, right? Except for you say you have a couple of months where you'll double up. So it gives you a little bit more time, but there's always a deadline, always a deadline.
Yes, always a deadline. And that, I think I thrive on deadlines. I kind of like the pressure of it. And I think you have to be in this industry. But there is always that turnaround. But I think what keeps it interesting, to your point, is every issue is different. I'm always getting to meet new people, explore new restaurants. There's typically an overarching theme for each issue. So it never feels like I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Even though kind of the format might follow the same process.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, compare like CPAs, they get, they have tax season and they're done. And most companies have fiscal years and they're done. Paul, I think, I don't know. I think Paul's done.
I'm already done here. I think I'm done for the day. Now, it's interesting, though. I think, we're all trying to figure out what is a brand these days. And I think media brands have become more than just magazines, or they're owned by people from Cumulus, the giant radio show conglomerate. Magazine used to be owned by, not Entercom, but another big radio chain. They're multimedia properties now.
We are, and I think the other thing we do really well is we partner with a lot of the events that you and I attend. So we sponsor a lot of these things. And the philanthropy aspect is really important to us. We try to work those stories in a ton. I'm grateful for the position because it puts me in a unique vantage point to give back to a lot of people in the community, too, to spotlight what's going on and what work is happening here.
So speaking of that, what inspires you?
What inspires me? I think my parents inspire me. Both of them are self-made entirely. And I think I'm an only child, and they really, I think, set me up for success from the beginning to make my own decisions and to believe in myself. So I think they inspire me. My mom used to work for Polaroid in the 80s with MTV, and she did branding for the Lakers. So she kind of had this background a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And then my dad worked in insurance, so totally different. But I think I get my hustle from my dad and probably my creativity from my mom.
Yeah.
So they inspire me.
That's really cool. Are there any particular podcasts or authors that you listen to or read?
So I haven't really gotten into podcasts, to be perfectly honest, which maybe I shouldn't
admit. What? Pull the plug right now here.
So this will be my favorite. This will be my top.
Perfect. Love it.
I would say I'm a big consumer. I love novels. I mean, I don't read a ton of what I do because I'm in it all the time.
Yeah, you need a break.
It's almost kind of ruined magazines for me because I'm too busy like critiquing them when I read them because I have to do that all day. But I love just fiction novels. I love Emily Giffen is one of my favorite authors. My all-time favorite book is In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. I have a side that really loves like Dateline and 2020 and all of that kind of stuff. I think if I could stomach it, I would do like criminal investigations.
Yeah. Of course, we have a second thing in common. That's another little secret of mine.
I have. So let me give a little plug for our May issue.
Yeah.
So because I have such a love for 2020 and all these kinds of shows, you may be familiar with the story Dirty John that happened here
my gosh.
In Newport.
Saw it.
Okay, so Deborah Newell, who is the real woman,
yeah.
is in our May issue. I interviewed her for our May issue. Oh. So she's our back page, Look Who's Talking page, which we do every month. So our May issue that just went up online yesterday has a full interview with her.
And look how that podcast has taken off. That's now one of the top podcasts.
Yes. So I read that originally, the LA Times story, when it first came out. And then, of course, the Bravo show was great. And so my editorial director, who's also very into this, we had been chatting and we're like, we should really hunt her down. The whole story is based here. So I interviewed her a couple weeks ago. And I'm dying to meet her in person. It was a phone interview, but I'm hoping that maybe I can twist her arm to go to lunch or something.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to hear how that goes.
Yes, yes. She's very interesting. Yeah. So, sometimes my outside loves often drip into what we cover too.
What else do we know about the May edition?
So the May edition is exciting. We have Anne Hathaway on the cover, which is huge. She's an Academy Award winning actress, and her new movie, The Hustle, is out, I think, in this week or next week. With Rebel Wilson. So that's why she's on our cover. They shot her in Ojai, so here in California. So that's our big cover feature. And then our local feature is a wellness feature called Living Well. So we tapped a variety of leaders in the wellness space. We have a psychic medium named Fiona that's in it. We have a beautiful farmer named Jody Ward with Moon Goat Farms, who's talking about the produce she grows right here in Chabuco Canyon. We have a whole array of interesting people that are doing different things in the wellness space. So it's really our wellness issue first and foremost. So if you're interested in how to recharge your life holistically, it's a great issue to pick up.
Great. And then in any, I'm sure you have, maybe not with distinction yet, but upcoming issues, like the themes yet coming up?
Yeah. So our June issue is our real estate issue. So our big real estate feature is going to be called Where Are the 1% Living? So you're going to see the most over the top homes in Orange County, the highest zip codes in Orange County, and all the interesting listings that are on the market right now. So that's a fun one that's in the works. And then July, August is our restaurant issue. So we'll be covering the 10 most exciting new restaurants. We're going to be doing a fun feature where we ask local chefs to tell us their favorite dish of the moment, and then go to that restaurant, ask that chef their favorite dish of the moment. So we're calling that Tag Your It.
Oh, that's clever.
And then September is Women of Style. So that'll be the next big one that I start diving into.
Yeah.
So we work pretty far out.
Well, that's exciting. I guess we're getting pretty close here. Paul, anything you wanted to add? This is somewhat in your field.
I just think that modern luxury is a topic that is so appealing these days, particularly here in Orange County. Look at the people, the shows that you've had in the past here, the Pagani motor cars, the fractional jets, bespoke clothing, and all this stuff. I'm an old hippie. You can tell the way I dress most of the time. And I just thought, this is Surf City, USA. You know, this is bums. Even the wealthy people dress like beach bums. But I think that's changing, and people are developing an appreciation for luxury of all sorts here. The question I would ask her is the one we used to do a luxury show years ago, and here was the favorite question. I think you tried it for a while here. What's the one luxury you can't do without?
Oh, yeah. Or your guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Probably really expensive face care products.
Ah, see? Okay.
I love Dr. Obagi in Laguna Beach. That'll be my, that's kind of my one big
Everybody's got some little indulgence that they can't do without.
Here, I love really probably very expensive makeup and skincare products.
Some people's expensive cars, some people's just expensive coffee or whatever, but there's always some guilty pleasure.
And clothing. I'll say my other guilty pleasure, I like nice clothes, but I'm very much like a Nordstrom Rack shopper, Fifth shopper. I like luxury at a discount price.
At a discount. Okay.
That's kind of...
Go listen to the last show. Bart and his sidekick, partner, were in here talking about the mistakes millionaires don't make, which is blowing the money when they get it and wasting it and doing silly stuff. Yeah. But even they, what I interjected was Warren Buffett, who lives pretty frugally and pretty simply compared to the billions he has. He still has a private jet, and he said that's his guilty pleasure. It just really gets him where he wants to go.
Private jet.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has to have their one thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he always says, I don't need a big house, and I don't need all this other stuff, the trappings of power and everything here, but private jet, that's pretty nice. I got to go to that one.
Paul, we never asked you your guilty pleasure.
My guilty pleasure is when I'm not here, I dress up in tuxedos. And
you so do not. You so do not. All right. Well, Allison, it's been such a pleasure having you in studio today. And I now have the honor of asking you our final thought question. So if you could share with us your ultimate lesson learned, over your career in the publishing business?
I would say the biggest lesson, and I thought about this quite a bit, is, and it might sound cliche, but I think what's gotten me where I've been is that I really have believed in myself. I've always felt like someone has to be hired, someone has to be promoted, someone has to be chosen. So why not me? Even if I'm young, I think I always was very willing to take risks and to stand up for myself and speak for myself and not ever feel like, well, I'm this age, so I can't do that, or I have this many years, so I can't do that. So I think believing in myself was the biggest lesson that I've learned, and I continue to carry that. And I think even when we get someone like Deborah Newell from Dirty John, it's always, to me, it's not going to happen if you don't ask. So why not ask?
Right.
So I think it's a lesson to carry over in all areas of life, is to not let fear creep in and instead listen to your inner voice and believe in yourself.
That is great. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
Again, it's been so great having you in studio. How can people reach you?
How can people reach me?
Learn more about the magazine, whichever.
So they can pick up the magazine at South Coast Plaza, Fashion Island. We're in the majority of the high-end restaurants, high-end hotels, Balboa Bay Resort, Paseo. And then also within the magazine, my contact information is in there. So my email is amitchell@modernluxury.com if you want to email me. And
just add to that email list, everyone.
Yes, add to my email list. Feel free to reach out to me. And
and the digital version, how do they get that?
The digital edition is modernluxury.com/Orange County.
Awesome.
So you can go ahead and Google us and follow us on Instagram as well.
All right. Thanks so much, everyone who has tuned in. And we look forward to being back in studio next week. Cheers.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest Inc. and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest Inc. under SEC registration.